Christ's earthly ministry was a very busy and a very active one. And reading through the pages of the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, we read of Christ actively engaged in a public ministry. We read of him preaching and teaching himself and the events surrounding his incarnation, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and indeed his coming again. We have accounts of him healing and cleansing from the most frightful diseases. We see him engaging with large multitudes of people and also with the few. And throughout the Gospels, we read time and time again of Christ dealing with individuals. Oh yes, our Savior spent much time dealing with multitudes. And we could turn to many portions of Scripture where multitudes had gathered to hear him teach and to see the miracles that he performed. And yet despite these multitudes, Christ always made time for the individual. We have many examples in Scripture of Christ dealing with individuals. In John 5, just over the page, we see that Christ dealing with the impotent man. In Matthew 19, he deals with the rich young ruler. And of course, he deals with Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And as we come to this portion of Scripture that we've read tonight in John chapter 4, we have another recorded instance of where Christ meets with an individual. And here we have read of the account of Christ meeting with the woman at the well. As we read through this account for the first time, perhaps it appears, as all other accounts do, when Christ met with an individual. However, at closer study and closer look at this encounter between Christ and the woman, I believe that we have a great insight here into the saving work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this encounter between Christ and this woman at the well, it sheds a great light on the marvelous and miraculous work of Christ's salvation. And that is simply the subject we want to look at tonight. We want to look at the saving work of Christ. The saving work of Christ. And I trust that by looking at this account and this subject that the Holy Spirit would help us. That the Holy Spirit would assist us, that he would lead us into a greater understanding of this great work of salvation. Maybe, friend, you're here tonight and you're out of Christ. Maybe you know nothing of the great work of Christ's salvation. Well, friend, tonight Christ is what your soul needs. The great work of salvation is what your soul needs tonight. That is what your soul is longing for. And in Christ and in his work is the only remedy. It's the only remedy for your never dying soul. And so noticing in the first place that Christ, he has a compulsion to save. And what do we mean by this? Well, Christ, he is compelled to save. Christ has a burden to save lost souls. Look at verse 4 of John chapter 4. It says there, and he, that is Christ, must needs go through Samaria. At the beginning of this chapter, we read that Christ was leaving Judea and he was departing to Galilee. And we come across those words that Christ must needs go through Samaria. In other words, Christ, he had to go to Samaria. He was compelled to pass by that way on his journey. There was a reason why Christ wanted and needed to go through Samaria. There was something that was drawing the Savior to that place. As we read down through the narrative, we see the reason why Christ was to go to that place of Samaria. Of course, it is because he needed to meet with that woman at the well. And Christ needed to go to Samaria. He was compelled. He had that desire and that longing to go to that place because he was to meet with this woman. This woman who had a great need that only Christ could meet. And so too it is, friend, tonight in relation to sinners. Christ, he has a desire to save souls. How do we know this? Luke 19, in the verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Christ came to this sin-cursed earth to save wretched sinners. That was the purpose in Christ coming to this sin-cursed earth. That was the purpose of him dying that atoning death on Calvary. That was the purpose of his resurrection, the purpose of his ascension. That is the purpose of his interceding on the right hand of the Father tonight. Christ came to save the lost. Why does Christ have this desire? Why does he have this desire to save the lost? Why is he compelled to save sinners? Well, friend, tonight the Word of God explains to us that we are all born in sin. We are all shapen in iniquity. There is none righteous, no, not one. There isn't one of us here tonight that isn't born in that state of wickedness and hatred towards Almighty God. We are born as haters of Him. We are born as His enemies. We are at enmity with Him. We are all his enemies. We're inclined away from God. We're inclined away from the things that are spiritual. We're inclined towards evil, towards sin, and towards wickedness. We must go back to the very beginning of the gospel account, and we understand that God commanded Adam not to eat of that forbidden fruit there in the Garden of Eden. And the terms were set down very clearly by his Father in heaven, that if he was to eat of that forbidden fruit, that the punishment was death. And that sin was punishable by death. And as we read through that biblical account, we read that Adam, he didn't follow after the things of God, but he followed after his own lust. He followed after his own desire, and he turned away from God, and he sinned against him. Adam was placed as the representative, the man, the head of mankind, the federal representative. And as such, when Adam fell, we all fell in him. When he sinned, we partook in that sin. When the guilt of Adam's sin was placed upon him, it was placed upon us. And that is why we're born in sin. That is why we're shapen in iniquity. That is why we're all sinners at enmity with God. That is why we hate him. That is why we are turned against him. And don't we see this corruption when we measure ourselves against the law of God? We have never kept perfectly the law of God, and none of us ever will. We cannot reach that standard that is set forth within God's precious law, and therefore that failure to meet God's standard, it is punishable by death. And that punishment is the eternal lake of fire, that place where the Bible describes as hell, a place where there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth, that eternal hatred of God. And you see, God knew we can never meet that standard, and we thank God tonight that the gospel message doesn't end there. That God in his loving kindness and in his mercy provided a means whereby those who come to him can have their sins forgiven. Those that come to him can meet God's precious standard, not through anything that we have done, but in and through the merit of the Savior, the one who gave us life for the ransom of many. God provided a way in which we wretched, wicked sinners could be reconciled to him. Where we could be brought out of our darkness, we could be turned away from the wickedness of our hearts, and we could be brought into the glorious light of the gospel. And Christ was manifest in the flesh by being born of the Virgin Mary miraculously, therefore protecting his sinlessness and his impeccability. And Christ lived that life in perfect obedience to the law of God, something that Adam did not do and something that we could never do. And as a result, Christ was able to go to Calvary as that perfect, blemish-free lamb. And as he hung there in that old rugged cross, he bore the wrath of God on our behalf. He became sin for us, the one who knew no sin. Why then does Christ save souls? Why did he come to seek and to save that which was lost? Why did he die an atoning death? Why is Christ compelled to save his people? Well, because Christ entered into an eternal covenant with his Father. Christ vowed to live a perfect life in obedience to the law of God. Christ vowed to die that atoning death. He vowed to become sin for his people. He had no personal sin, and yet he vowed to pay the price. And in return in that covenant, God the Father gave his Son the authority to apply salvation to those that would come to him. See, Christ tonight is the authority to save souls. God can never break his vows. Christ can never break the terms of his covenant promise. And therefore, tonight Christ is compelled to save those who would come to him. Those that the Father has given unto him, Christ must and will save. And sinner friend, tonight what hope that gives you as you sit in your helpless and your lost state. Oh, if you were to come to him tonight, if you were to confess your sin, if you were to depend on the precious shed blood of Christ, praise God, you'll be saved. You'll be brought from death into everlasting life. If you confess your sin, if you ask him to save your soul, then Christ will save you. And that's the remedy your soul needs tonight, sinner friend. It doesn't need anything that is provided by the world. It doesn't need anything provided by self. But if you come to Christ tonight earnestly pleading for the salvation of your soul, Christ will save you. He will. God's word tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not only do we see that Christ is compelled to save, but we see that Christ, he has a willingness to save. Look again back in our text, this time in verse number 10. It says there, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here in this interaction between our Savior and the woman at the well, we see Christ asking the woman for a drink in verse number 7. We have the response of the woman in verse number 9, and she says, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? And Christ began the conversation which he knew would lead to the point it did. You see, Christ's focus was not on the literal and the physical water. Christ's purpose here was not to expound and to explain the need and the requirement and the purpose of this water that was found in the well, but rather he was opening up the discussion on to a greater water. Oh, Christ was opening up a discussion on the spiritual water. Oh, the living water that was found in him alone. And when this woman questions Christ's request, it opens the door right up for him to deal with the spiritual. And Christ says to this woman, Oh, if you only knew salvation. Oh, if you only knew who I am, all you have to do is ask and I would give thee living water. Of course, Christ is speaking of salvation. Christ, he is the living water. And Christ said that those who come to him and drink, they will never thirst again. Look at verse 14. It says, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Christ was explaining that earthly water, it only quenches for a season. It only quenches for a period of time. Don't we know that all too well, especially in this period of weather that we're having? Oh, we take that a drink of ice-cold water, and as it touches our lips, there is that relief, but it's not too long till we need that drink again. Oh, there's that constant thirsting, and Christ was saying that water will never quench your thirst. But yet the water that Christ offers for your soul, if you come and drink, you will never thirst again. You see, the sinner who comes to Christ and drinks will never thirst. An unsaved one in the meeting tonight, if you come to Christ, if you confess your sin, if you accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life, you will be eternally satisfied. Now, the great problem your soul is in will be rectified for all eternity. Friend, tonight, if you come to Christ, your soul will never thirst again. It will never desire another. It will never desire anything else. It will never long for the things of the world, for the salvation of the soul. But Christ will fulfill and satisfy the longing of your soul tonight. Now, when you turn away from the broken cisterns of the world, when you turn away from what the world has to offer, oh, you know that satisfaction, it only lasts for a while. Oh, that pleasure, it is only for a season. It is not true satisfaction. It is not true longing or true pleasure. It only satisfies for a while. Whether you're looking for satisfaction at the bottom of the drink bottle, whether you're looking for satisfaction in a drug, whether you're looking for satisfaction in good works, you will never quench the thirst of your soul. But here Christ, he says, if you come to him, and if you drink of the living water, you will never thirst again. And friend, tonight Christ is willing to save your soul. What did Christ say to the woman at the well? He says, Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Christ is willing to save your soul tonight, friend. And if you come to him and ask him to save you, if you confess your sin before him, he is willing and he is able. You see, Christ is not only compelled to save because of the covenant he entered into with his Father, but Christ is willing to save. We must make that point tonight that there was nobody or nothing that forced Christ to go to the cross. Christ could have called for the angels of heaven to deliver him from that wrath that he was to experience. Matthew 26, in the verse 23, Christ says, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And praise God, tonight he didn't call for the angels. Rather, Christ willingly bled and died. He bore the wrath of God. He took the punishment for our sin there on Calvary. And friend, if you come to him, your sins will be covered under the precious blood of Christ, to be remembered no more by the Savior. And when God looks upon the sinner saved by grace, he no longer sees the mark of sin. Oh, he no longer sees the wretchedness and the depravity of the heart of man, but he looks upon the believer and he sees the robes of the righteousness of Christ. He sees that blood that was shed on Calvary for sinners. And what a tremendous thought that is tonight, believer. Would you come to Him? Would you confess your sin? Would you acknowledge your great need before the cross tonight? Would you humbly bow before the One who says that if you come to Him, you will never thirst again? And thirdly, tonight, we see in Christ's work of salvation that Christ has the power to save. You see, sinner friend, the world may offer you alternatives to Christ for the salvation of your soul, but these things are powerless. Whether it be good works, whether it be good living, whether it be charity, or whether it be financial giving, whether it be pilgrimages or whatever else the world may offer, these things are powerless for the saving of your soul. Oh, tonight they may promise you the world, they may promise you satisfaction, they may promise you salvation, but they are powerless. They can do nothing to remedy the great problem your soul is in. And tonight, friend, the gospel does not offer a way which is powerless. It does not offer a way which has no power, does not offer a person who is powerless to save. Rather, it offers you the person of Christ. It offers you the all-powerful King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of His people. The gospel offers you tonight the One who is not only able, who is not only willing, but One who has the power to save. And then, sinner, tonight, why would you turn to anyone or anything else? Oh, why would you look to the broken cisterns of the world? Why would you look for satisfaction in the pleasure of the world when these things are powerless? Would you not come tonight to the all-powerful Redeemer, that One that can save your soul? Your soul tonight needs a powerful remedy. It needs a powerful solution. It needs a powerful person. There's no other hope for your soul tonight, friend, than in Christ and Christ alone. You need the power of God to be wrought upon your heart tonight in salvation. You need to come to Christ and drink of the living water. Look at verses 13 and 14 of the text. It says there, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Christ, as we said already, is referring to the water in the well. And here's a picture of the powerlessness of what the world has to offer, a symbol of the powerlessness of the world's ways of salvation. It doesn't fix the problem of your soul tonight, but look at verse 14. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, not only will Christ provide water that quenches the thirst of your soul for all eternity. And friends, that's powerful enough in itself. But yet as we read on, we see that this water, it shall be in him a well or a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What a picture of the power of Christ and His salvation. Consider when you come to Christ, not only will your soul never thirst again, but within your soul shall be a fountain of eternal life. When you come to Christ, not only will you receive life, but you'll receive it more abundant. When you come to Christ, your life is only really beginning. You're born again of the Spirit of God and brought on to eternal life. What power, what might we have in the salvation of Christ? And friends, tonight I can testify of the saving power of Christ. I was once a wretched, vile sinner, but tonight I'm a sinner saved by grace. Listen, friend, it was nothing that I ever did. It was nothing that was found in me. It was nothing that I have done. I'm no better than anyone else. I grieved the Lord with my sin and my life, with my heart. I grieved Him by hating Him, by being an enemy of God, but yet in His grace and His mercy and through His power, He turned my life around. And He brought me out of the death of sin and out of the darkness of the world, and He brought me into abundant and eternal life. And all believers here can testify tonight to the power that is found in the salvation of Christ. Oh, how it can change, how it can transform. And sinner, tonight, you're not too great a sinner. You're not too far gone in sin. You've not been a sinner for too long. You haven't committed sins that are too great for Christ to save. And Christ has the power to save your soul tonight. Your salvation is found in the power of Christ. If you come to Him tonight as a weak, humble sinner, broken and lost before the Savior, if you humbly bow before Him tonight, if you confess your need as a sinner and you bow before him, Christ will save you. And within you will be that well of water, that fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life. Matthew 28, and the verse 18 tells us, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Christ is the power to save from sin. Christ has the power to remove you from the condemnation that you're under. Christ has the power to remove you from the road that you're on, heading to a lost eternity in hell, and he has power to lift you up and to place you on that road to eternal life. Would you come to him tonight? Would you come and have your sins forgiven? We see that Christ, he has this compulsion to save, a willingness to save, and the power to save. And notice finally, in the last place, that Christ has the authority to save. Look at verse 26 of John chapter 4. It says there, "Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." Who was Christ declaring himself to be to this woman at the well? Well, verse 25, we read, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things." The woman was speaking of the Messiah that was promised to come and to save the lost. The promised Redeemer that was to come to save souls, that one who had been prophesied throughout the pages of Old Testament Scripture. And here Christ, in his response, he was declaring himself to be that Messiah. "It is me, I am that man, the very Son of the living God. I am the one who is the promised Redeemer. I am the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm the one who came to give his life a ransom for the salvation of sinners. I am the one who was sent of God from the splendor of glory. The one who was sent to take on that state of humiliation by taking on the form of man, living that life as a humble servant and going to the cross and shedding his precious blood." Oh, the woman thought that Christ standing before her was a mere prophet. Look at verse 19. Says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Well, listen, friend, tonight, if Christ was only a prophet, he would have no authority to save souls. And that's the mistake that many religions make today. Oh, they relegate Christ to just a mere man, a good prophet. And at the same time, they deny that he is the eternal Son of the living God. Oh, they deny that he's the Messiah. They deny that he is the Redeemer of mankind. And in doing so, they deny that he has any authority to save a sinner from their sin. Friend, tonight, based on the Word of God, that is not the case. Christ is not just a mere good man. Christ tonight is not just a good prophet. But Christ, the Christ of the Word of God, the true and the living Christ, he is the Son of the living God. And thus he has the power, he has the authority tonight to save your never-dying soul. Oh, what a pointless task it would be if I was to stand here tonight and to offer you a solution, to offer you one who has no authority to remedy the need your soul is in. But praise God, tonight that is not the case, for through the gospel we offer you one who has the power to save. We offer you one who has the authority of the thrice holy Godhead to save your soul. And tonight through the gospel we offer you the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We present to you Christ, the one who is able, willing, powerful, and has the authority to save your never-dying soul. There are religions out there across this land, and they're offering salvation through earthly means and earthly men. People who have no power, people who have no authority. Oh, friend, flee from these things tonight. Flee from your sin. Flee from the wrath that is to come, and flee to Christ. Take hope and comfort tonight in the authority in which Christ has to save your precious soul. John 17 contains the words of Christ as he prays that great high priestly prayer. In verse number 2, speaking of himself, he says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." You see, God the Father has given God the Son the authority to save souls. Going back to the covenant that we spoke of earlier, because Christ has fulfilled the requirements of the covenant, God, he has given Christ the authority to save precious souls. He has given him the authority to apply sinners to salvation to those sinners that would come to him. And friend, if you come to Christ this evening, if you put your trust in Him, you're coming to one who has the authority and the power to save your never dying soul. You're coming to the very Son of God, the promised Messiah. You're coming to that one that was sent to seek and to save that which was lost. And therefore tonight, when you come to Christ, you can come with assurance. You can come with hope. You can come just as you are. You don't need to bring anything with you. You don't need to do anything apart from confess your need as a sinner. And to humbly bow before Christ as your Savior, to confess that He is indeed the Savior of your soul. To put your trust in Him for all eternity. Commit the keeping of your soul into His hands. So here in the saving work of Christ, we could go into many other things perhaps in this text, but I believe there's a great picture here of Christ's saving work. We have a summary, an insight into Christ and His salvation of souls. An unbeliever tonight, this is the work of salvation that you need. We've already noted we're born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity. It doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter how often you attend church. Well, it doesn't matter your knowledge of the Scriptures, you could have a deep understanding of the doctrines of God, you could have been attending a Free Presbyterian church for all your life, and yet you're still a lost sinner. You're here without Christ. We see that Christ is compelled to save. He has a desire to save. Christ has a desire to save the soul of sinners tonight. We see that He's willing to save. Our Savior, He's not forced to save souls, but rather in His loving kindness and His mercy, He's willing to save those who come to Him. And we see that He has the power to save. By coming to Christ tonight, you come to one who has power to save your soul. And friends, tonight that's the remedy you need. Such is the darkness of our hearts and our souls tonight. It's only the power of Christ that these things can be changed. We need the power of Christ to be wrought upon our hearts. That's the only remedy for our never dying soul. And we see that Christ, He has the authority to save. By coming to Him tonight, you have the blessed assurance that He who cometh to Him, He will in no wise, or He will never cast away. He will never throw out, but He has the authority of His heavenly Father to save precious souls. And so tonight, friend, by coming to Christ, you do not come to a mere prophet. You do not come to a mere man, but you come to the one and only remedy for your soul. You come to the Redeemer of mankind. You come to the Son of the living God. You come to that one who bled and died for the salvation of your soul. And friend, tonight, there's salvation in no other. There's salvation in nothing else. There's only salvation found in Christ. Would you come to Him this evening? Would you humbly confess your need as a sinner before Him tonight? And would you flee from the broken cisterns of this present world? And would you flee from the pleasures that it has to offer? Would you flee from those things that so often you've tried to use to quench the soul, the thirst that your soul is in? And would you come tonight to the only remedy? That one who said, those that will come to Him, they will never thirst again. And we trust and we pray in our Savior's name tonight that you would come to Him. And whosoever shall come to Him, he will in no wise cast out, and be brought into the family and the fold of God. May the Lord bless His word to each and every heart this evening. Let us bow in a word of prayer as we bring our meeting to a close.